on the floor. Now my jewelry box froze. Fuck up bowl, fuck up stove. Counted millions in a cold. Bad bitch, booted swole. Got her on bankroll. Can't fold. Just a no. Headshot, case closed.
What is up, guys? It's Andy Frisella, and this is the show for the realists. Say goodbye to the lies, the fakeness, and delusions of modern society, and welcome to motherfucking reality. Guys, today we have Q and AF, and I will spare you the entire intro. You know the deal, right? Don't be a hoe.
Share the show.
As always, we got my co-host, DJ. What's happening?
Hello, children.
What's going on?
Oh, nothing much, man. Nothing much. Got to get a shave in.
Huh?
I've been shaving.
Do you use, what do you use? You use like a head blade or a regular razor?
Yeah, it's like the Gillette 5, like the pro thing.
Oh, yeah. Does it the one with the vibration on it?
No, that's for the butthole.
Yeah. That shit seems to work.
The vibration?
Yeah, I think it works. For the butthole?
For the butthole.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Tingles a little bit.
Yeah, at the same time, yeah. Mm-hmm. Left hand, you know. Mm-hmm. No. I've been wanting to do the using a fucking straight razor, like the old school butterfly razor thing.
I don't know if you're supposed to do that to yourself though. I think you're supposed to have someone
like let somebody do that. Yeah.
I never had a straight razor shave.
They're nice. Yeah. I had one once.
Oh, I did have one once at Wedgwood in Springfield.
Yeah. I've had it once, and I used to, like, when I was clean shaven, I used to use a straight razor for a minute, but my skin's so fucking sensitive.
Bro, mine too.
And so it's like, I gotta be super careful with that shit.
I can't shave against the grain or I'll fucking get ingrown fucking hairs, man.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
I don't know how you guys do it with your soft beard and shit. I ain't got one of those soft beards.
My shit's not soft.
My shit's like, I'm saying, like, these dudes that can shave the opposite way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you could do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
Well.
What else going on?
Oh, you know, I wanted to bring this up. I saw this, we got this email. I was checking through some of the questions and submissions and stuff, and I thought this was pretty cool. We had an email response. This isn't really a question, just feedback. I'll pull it up here on the screen for you, though. This email comes from Bert DeWeese.
Bert in the house.
Bert in the house from Topeka, Kansas. Bert. He says, Andy, I've been following your show for the past year and thoroughly enjoy each episode. On yesterday's episode, you were talking about Morgan Wallen's situation and that he was probably drinking Ultra. You had mentioned Milwaukee's Best as the Beast, and that would have tore him up.
It would have killed him.
Back in high school, we drank the Beast as our go-to, so we made our senior shirts to honor this. I have attached a picture for you. Let me know what you think. Here's a picture of Bert's senior
oh, man.
Shirt.
That's gang paraphernalia right there. I can promise you that. Those group of dudes beat people's asses.
I think that just goes to show how much of a difference high school has come.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I could have had that as a fucking senior shirt.
No, now they're cutting off their wieners.
Now, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Bro, I'm going to tell you right now.
That's a pretty clean shirt.
It's cool, yeah. I like it. Beastmasters. I'm glad I'm not the only one that fucking... You know, the problem with drinking Milwaukee's Beast is twofold. You do become the Beastmaster because your standards get pretty low.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
you master the beast for real.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's the end of the night. You know what I'm saying? The beasts are last one left.
Is it still breathing?
You know, that's you gotta all be the Beastmaster.
Yeah, I get it.
That's trying not to play that game, you know what I'm saying? But like,
we've all been there.
Well, you speak for yourself.
Bullshit.
I've witnessed it. I've heard of it.
Oh, yeah, you got a friend, right.
That's right.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Couple friends. I can fucking say their names, too, but I ain't because I'm not that kind of friend. But so they were definitely taming some beasts. But the other thing is that we know they were extremely violent. This is a gang you want to stay away from because there's levels to this.
There's levels to the beer.
There's levels to beer and violence correlation.
What's the list?
It goes like, all right, like Bud Light, Miller Light, mm-hmm. Coors Light, right? That's mm-hmm. like the baseline.
It's basic level.
Like
shit,
the regular, you know, you might yell at someone or whatever, right? But you're not going to get crazy.
You're right, okay.
Then you got Bush, all right? And okay. Bush... You're definitely beating up your girlfriend, right? So you should stay away from Bush. It's got corn alcohol in it. Yeah. Anybody that drinks Bush.
Is that a malt beer?
I don't know. I'm telling you, it makes you fucking crazy. Then you got, above that, you got Mountain Dew. All right?
Right.
How the fuck does Mountain Dew?
It just does.
Okay, all right.
That's the rules. Okay, and then that's where Mountain Dew is, like about this high, right?
Uh-huh.
Bud Light's down here.
Right. Bush.
In the middle.
Bud right? Heavy's, I'm sure, somewhere in there.
Yeah, Bud Light or Budweiser's a little below Bush, right?
Okay.
But Mountain Dew is a pretty significant jump. And then you got way the fuck up here, you got Beastmaster. Right. All right, you got Milwaukee's Best.
Yeah.
Every time I ever drank Milwaukee's Best, I beat someone's ass or I got my ass beat.
Oh, man.
Most of the time it was getting my ass beat.
Okay.
Because I would talk shit to like 40 dudes. Because that's how, dude, you think you're the Beastmaster, bro. You think you could take on the world, and it just ain't true.
That ain't how it works.
Ask me how I know.
Sweet, man. Well, that's a cool.
It's
obviously it means something.
I wouldn't fuck with that guy.
Yeah, no.
Bert fuck you up.
Bert, do you still drink the Beast?
Bert is a bad motherfucker, bro. That's a fucking fact.
Well, because
if he can't beat people up, he could take a beating.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, all right.
Bert.
Shout out to Bert.
Badass Bert from Kansas.
There's at least one in Kansas, and it's Bert. That's what we know for sure.
That's right.
Sweet, man. Well, let's make some people better.
Yeah.
We got some good questions here for you guys. Let's dive into these. Andy, guys, question number one. Andy, I'm 20 years old and about to start climbing that entrepreneur ladder. My question is, what were some expectations you had of entrepreneurship that you got right? What did you get absolutely wrong? And what were some things that threw you completely off guard?
Oh, man, that's such a deep question. It's a good question. Like most people, I believe that it was going to be pretty easy. I thought when we started our business that in a 2 or 3 years, because when you start a business, people will tell you this. It's a pretty standard thing. They'll say it takes 3 years to start making money. And remember, I grew up in the era before social media. All right. You guys now have so many amazing tools to get business that did not exist when I started in 1999. It took 10 years for that to really get any traction. So the internet was around, right? But the social media aspect and everybody using it as it exists today was not available. Okay. You couldn't run ads. You couldn't geofence. You couldn't, you know, inexpensively advertise, right? Yeah. But at the same time, people still said the same shit. They said, oh, it'll take you 3 years to start making money. And what I interpret that to mean was it takes you 3 years to be wealthy and have like Lamborghinis.
And, rich, right?
Yeah, right. And be baller and shit. And that was completely wrong. It's much harder. It takes much longer than what people expect. And for that reason, a lot of people quit before it actually starts to happen for them. And that's unfortunate because I see a lot of people in today's society who have never built anything in their fucking lives telling people how easy it is and how quick it is. And the problem with that is that when those people buy into that and then they go out there and they get their face kicked in, they blame themselves. They say, well, I must have been doing it wrong, or I don't have what it takes. And that's just not true. You're just not understanding the game. The difference between what it actually takes and what you think it takes for most people is almost polar opposites. So you have to reframe your expectations into how hard it's going to be and how long it's going to take. And you have to focus on building yourself into someone who can accomplish that mission. Someone with grit, resilience, perseverance, the ability to endure, mental toughness. Okay, this is why we talk about 75 hard and live hard so much, because it finally tunes your mental focus to where you become the kind of person who can push through the inconvenient and difficult things that other people can't. And I didn't understand that in the beginning. I just didn't have any other options. I didn't have any other options on anything to do. So the amount of time that I thought it was going to take and how hard I thought it was going to be, I grossly underestimated. Mm-hmm. All right. That was my biggest mistake. And I think it would have been a lot less frustrating had I actually known what it was going to take. But also, I don't know that I would have went and did it because it was so fucking hard. You know, the ignorance aspect almost kind of serves you in the beginning. So the
like
good
news, you're saying, like, you know, where not you are knowing now, if you were to go back to your 19-year-old self and like, oh, listen, this is
really what it's going to take. It would have been a lot tougher thing for me to swallow. Mm. And I don't say these things to discourage people. I say these things because it's honest truth. Yep. And people need to know the path that they're choosing, because the way entrepreneurship is glorified on the internet right now is not congruent with the way it actually is. Yeah. You have a lot of people out here lying to people, fucking telling them bullshit, who haven't built a motherfucking thing, setting expectations that aren't reality. You know, you got 19-year-old fucking life coaches talking about how they make 250 fucking grand a month and all this bullshit, bro. And when people go out and they try to achieve things and they don't do that, they fucking blame themselves and they end up quitting. And then they end up just residing to the fact that, like, well, I'm a loser, right? And that's the wrong mentality. So that was something that I got wrong for sure. Another thing I got wrong is I thought that everybody would support me. I thought my friends, I thought my family, I thought everybody would rally behind me and, you know, buy my products and, you know, all that stuff. And what I found out was that, yes, there was a few people that did. There was far more people that didn't. And those people, not only did they not support me, did they not, you know, they laughed and they joked and they talked shit to my face and when I wasn't around. Whenever they needed what we had, they wanted it as a discount. They wanted it for free. And that was very frustrating because we weren't making any fucking money and we had all these people coming to us asking us for special deals. If you're truly friends with someone, you buy shit at full price, bro. That's the reality, okay? I do that with all my friends. I don't take anything for free. If they send me something for free, I send them something back of equal value because that's the right thing to do, mm-hmm. All right? So that's another thing I got wrong. You know, another thing I got wrong, I actually think those are the two main things I got wrong.
Yeah.
That were the most difficult for me to process and deal with. You know, nobody owes you support. Nobody owes you belief. Nobody owes you cheers and claps and celebration before you do it. That's not how it works. It works like this. You go out, you do something, everybody doubts it, everybody questions it, everybody says you're not going to do it because you've never done any of these things before, and likely they've observed you over the course of your life. Try things and quit. Try things and quit. Try things and quit. And so we have to be honest with ourselves about what we've shown the people around us and then be honest with ourselves of what they probably believe. If you've witnessed someone quit 17 times or say they're going to lose weight 500 times, on the 501st time, are you going to believe them? No. Right. And so we have to be real about that and learn not to take those things as personal. But there's also a benefit to taking them personal because it makes you have something to prove. And there's a lot of people out here who have never built anything who give out this feel-good hippie advice about, oh, you don't have anything to prove to anybody. Bullshit. You got lots to fucking prove, a whole lot to prove. And the minute you think you don't have anything to prove is the minute you stop progressing. It's the minute you get complacent. And that's the minute that things go bad in your life. And then eventually you're looking around, you're saying, fuck, dude, why am I losing? Why is my income bad? Why is my life bad? Because you think you made it, you got comfortable, and you think you don't have anything to prove. We got a whole lot of shit to prove, every single one of us, okay? So that's how I choose to look at it. Outside of that, dude, I think, you know, the rest of the things you just learn along the way because you're so ignorant in the beginning, you don't know how it works. And you just pick them up. You make mistakes, you learn the skills, and you keep going. But I would say those two things are probably the biggest misconceptions that I had coming out the gate. And I think a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you get anything right? Did you have any expectations that were right when you first started, looking back?
Here's the other thing I got wrong. I bought into the idea that most young entrepreneurs buy into today, where they're okay with selling somebody something, even if they know it's not the best thing for that person, right? They're focused on themselves. They're trying to make money. A lot of these kids nowadays are selling products that are total bullshit. And, They don't give a fuck about reputation, and they don't care about actually building relationships. And that was a huge mistake, because not only does it fuck your reputation, it creates a scenario where you're not building a book of loyal customers that are going to support you. So you can't ever really compound what it is you're trying to do. When you look at like your, what you do as a business, you have to understand that really, if we're very honest about the game we're playing, we are in the customer acquisition business. That's what the fuck we are doing. Every single one of you, every single one of you who is doing anything in business, anything in your career, the answer to your problems is to acquire customers and keep them. And if you imagine a bucket, and you imagine a bucket that you need to fill up with customers, okay? The only way to fill them up with customers is to make sure that the bucket doesn't have any holes, meaning there's no way for them to fall out the bottom. And what most people do is they create their bucket. It has a bunch of holes in the bottom, like customers don't stay. They don't spread word of mouth. You're not actually making them loyal. So customers flow in and then they flow out the bucket. And what happens is the ones that flow out eventually start talking, and they talk so much that you have a hard time putting new ones in. There is a finite amount of customers because of the speed of the word of mouth that is created with social media. All right. If you get a terrible reputation, it doesn't take too long for your business to fail. And this is unlike what it was like before the internet, because it would take years and years and years and years and years for the word of mouth to circulate. Now it takes 1 second. All right. So like most people, I was concerned with just getting people in, getting them to buy my shit, and then I didn't really care. And I'm just being honest. That's something that a lot of young people buy into. And it wasn't until I figured out that I had to be the real deal. We had to solve their problems. We had to give a fuck. We had to help them produce results. We had to make excellent products. We had to do all these things to plug the holes in the bottom of the bucket and then create an amazing experience so that when we were putting people in the bucket, they were staying in the bucket, okay? And that's where you're gonna start to gain traction. So that was a massive mistake that I made for the first probably 8-9 years of our business as well. So that was something as well. Now you ask, if what did I get right? The one thing I got right is that I wasn't a fucking pussy, okay? Mm-hmm. I showed up every day. I gave it everything I had. I had the grit. I had the resilience. I had the fortitude to stick with it. And that came from a situation of me not having any options. I didn't have an option to go work, you know, somewhere or fallback plan or, you know, inheritance or some shit. I didn't have that. So I either had to make it work or I fucking wasn't going to make it. And that's a beautiful blessing for most people. A lot of people, when they're starting out, they look around and they say, well, it's not fair. It's not fair that Tommy has rich parents. It's not fair that Joey raised a whole bunch of money. It's not fucking fair, blah, blah, blah. Well, bro, while you're standing around judging what's fair and not fair, there's other motherfuckers with harder situations than you, that's less fair situations than you have, that are building and creating and overcoming. And those are the people that win. And so you can't look around at fair and think that it's even relevant, because it's not. Shit's not fucking fair. And you have to make the best of it. And that was something that, you know, those are things that I think young people struggle with. Yeah. And I struggle with the same things. And that's why I put so much effort into trying to recalibrate how you guys see things. You know, what you see on the internet from 95% of the fucking people out here that are doing entrepreneurship is bullshit. They're teaching you, quote unquote, how to do something that they've never fucking done. All right. And you guys buy it hook, line, and sinker over and 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 over again, because you want to avoid the hard work. And while you're trying to avoid the hard work, there's other people who are saying, fuck it. This is the path I got to go on. Then that's what I got to do. And they're showing up, and they're showing up with balls and courage and fortitude and discipline and showing the fuck up and getting it done. And those people win. And everybody else that looks for the shortcut over and over and over and over and over again, they end up working at a bar when they're 45 years old and they can't understand why. It's because you ignored the rules of the game. I didn't make the rules. Nobody else made the rules. It's just the way it is. And that's why we say real AF, okay? It's realist thinking. It doesn't matter how I feel about the game. What matters is I play by the rules, Okay. And the rules are that it takes time, it takes effort, it takes skill, and it takes your ability to not fucking quit no matter how hard it is. And when other people quit, that's even more confirmation for you not to quit, because now there's less people in the game that you're competing with. All right. So that's something I did right. The one thing I did right was when shit got hard, I didn't fucking quit. Yeah. And I actually believe that that's like 90 fucking percent of my success.
Yeah. I want to hit on this because I think it's important. You know, you talk about how wrong you did things, you know, almost 10 years in business, yeah, right? Looking back on it, an honest assessment, like how close, like looking at it now, like how close would you say you actually were to, like, I mean, fuck, maybe even losing the company because of how
you were operating? Bro, most of the 10 years that we were in business, the first, we had like less, like $1,000 in the account at all times. Like it was so fucking, like people don't understand. Like it wasn't, like this shit, the shit you see on the internet is total bullshit. We were fucking bootstrapping the entire time. We were fucking, it was crazy. It's actually crazy that we're here, honestly. That's how tight it was. I can't tell you how many times we had to go out and do other things to pump cash in the business to even keep it going. I mean, dude, hundreds of times, not a couple times.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was very common for us to do other things for money and then pay into the business to keep it going. So I don't know. That's the thing I did right. And those are the things I did wrong. And, you know, the quicker you guys stop believing in these shortcuts and stop fucking believing that there's a hack around the way, the faster you're going to get where you want to go.
I love it. Guys, Andy, question number two. Andy, I grew up in a very dysfunctional family where we were never close. It's the same with my extended family. I'm not a social person, and I am an introvert at that. So my friends are few. I want to start something huge and change the world, but I can't muster the energy or confidence to get out of my head the fact that I have zero support system in this world. My wife, of course, but you need deeper connections than your partner that only your family can provide. I have two older brothers, but they have had their own little club for a couple of years, but before I got here, and then they never really let me in. So the fucking question is, how do you get ahead when you have zero family and zero innate support system and are an introvert to boot? It's so stressful, and sometimes I'm jealous of my wife because she has a huge Colombian family, and I love that about their culture, the closeness of family. If you were to give me some ideas, you could really change my life, my man.
Well, number one, your exclusion from your family is probably you doing it to yourself. You're sitting here telling yourself, I'm an introvert. I'm not very social. I don't really get along with family. Well, how is that productive to having a strong family relationship? To have a great relationship with anybody, including your family, effort has to be made. You have to invest in those relationships, which means you have to show up, you have to try, you have to stop thinking that everybody is mad at you or doesn't like you or doesn't want you there. Those are insecurities that are keeping you from having what you really want, okay? So I would be very cautious about how you label yourself in this regard, all right? So start making an effort, start talking to yourself differently about how you are. And when you're around these people, make some strong efforts to be friends with them and contribute and call them and check up on them. You know, a lot of people that talk like this, they don't make any effort. They think that it's a lot of ego shit. They think that everybody's supposed to come to them, and they think everybody that doesn't come to them doesn't like them. Bro, it's a two-way street. And a lot of you guys put yourself in this lonely situation because you have overinflated self-importance that everybody should reach out to you. We see this shit on the internet with like the memes and shit, right? Oh, keep in mind who checks on you and who doesn't. Motherfucker, who are you checking on?
Right.
Who are you fucking checking on? Most of you are entitled little bitches. That's why nobody wants to be around you. Nobody wants to be around you because you think you're better than everybody else because you think they should come to you and bow the fuck down. So make sure that you're not doing that, but I think you are, okay? And correct that. The second point is that you need to realize that you don't fucking need anybody. You other people supporting you is irrelevant to your success. It's legitimately irrelevant when we're talking about your family and friends network, okay? Do you know what matters in success? What you do. What do you do? What inputs do you put in? Because the inputs equal the outputs, okay? So how can your family not liking you, how can you not having any friends deter you from making the inputs necessary to produce a result, all right? If you're a farmer and your fucking family hates you and your friends hate you and you go out and you plant seeds in the fucking field and you make sure that they get water and cultivation, they're, guess what's going to happen?
Yeah.
They're going to grow and you're going to have a harvest and your life is the same way. And you guys get it confused. You think that everybody, you think you're entitled to everybody's support. You think everybody's going to clap. You think everybody's going to cheer before you even fucking did anything. Where does that happen in life? People get this instant gratification from being like, big plans. I'm gonna make this and do this, and then nobody says anything,
clap
and they're
now.
Like,
"Yeah, clap."
Nobody believes in me, yeah. Bro. You haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
You want to celebrate before you go, and society is immune to that because so many people do it. Okay, so they are not gonna celebrate you until after you did it because they see people, not just you, every single day say, "I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do this. Watch out. Here I come. Nobody can stop me. Better get out of my fucking way." And then you sit your fat ass on the couch and don't do anything. So what do you think they're gonna think? All right? You're no exception. You're not excluded from the rules of the game, bro. It's like this for everybody. Who the fuck do you think you are to get excluded from the way it is for everybody else? See, you do think you're special because you think that all your family should clap and all your fucking friends should clap and everybody should come to you. And then you think that everybody should support your business and you gotta have it, and you don't. It's not reality. What you need to do is put your head to the fucking grindstone and start doing what it is you want to do. And eventually you'll start producing some results. And those results might take a year. They might take 3 years. Like I said, you have technology that I didn't have, so you can go a lot faster. But the reality of this is that when people start to see that you're producing some results, some of those people will start to support you, okay? When you are undeniably great at what you do, everybody who didn't support you in the beginning will tell you how proud they are of you. Mm-hmm. They'll say, "Man, I always believed in you. I was always proud of you." And here's the thing. When you're in that position, you're going to look at them and you're going to be like, "Motherfucker, you weren't here during my struggle. You weren't here when I was in my fight. You weren't here when I was fucking dying to do this. You didn't support me. You didn't offer to help. You didn't text to check on me. I don't need you." And you're going to feel very good about yourself because you're going to learn the reality that you are self-sufficient and you do not need anybody to help you plant the seeds that are going to create the harvest in your life. It depends on what you do. All this other shit that you're saying is legitimately irrelevant.
I love that. Let me ask you this. I mean, is this an opportunity to really turn on that negative like production pivot that you talk about, right? Like, I mean, if there was any great scenario, this would be it.
Look, dude, you're supposed to take shit personally sometimes. Mm. And when you get shit that makes you feel personal about it, you're supposed to take that, put it into a big chip that sits right up here on your fucking shoulder. And when you don't feel like doing it, when you don't feel like sending that email or getting up and doing that workout or doing what it is you know to do that's going to move you forward, you fucking remember what they said. You go line by line. So-and-so said this. So-and-so said this. And eventually you're going to go down the list, three or four statements. You're like, "Fuck that." And you're going to get up and you're going to go do the thing. All right. And the negative, the dark forces, the dark energy is a much more motivating energy than the positive reinforcement anyway. And a lot of people like to say, "Oh, well, that's not right. That's not true. You should do it to prove people right, not prove people wrong." Okay, well, you know, show me someone who's actually built something iconic that believes that. Mm-hmm. Because it takes dark energy to be a fucking champion, bro. You look at Kobe Bryant. You look at Michael Jordan. You look at the greatest champions of all time. When they're in competition, bro, they look at the other guy and they're like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. I'm offended you showed the fuck up. I'm going to fucking crush you. Now, they might drink beer after the game. They might be friendly. But in the level of competition, it is fucking war. And people have to understand that. And they think they can come in with this idealistic perspective of, well, you know, that's really not my style. And I don't really have what it takes. And you know what? I'm an introvert. And you know what? That's just not my... Bro, you're going to fucking lose. The game doesn't fucking adjust itself to your preferences. Like, what kind of fucking arrogance is that? So everybody in history has had to play this, go down this path and learn these things almost identically. And you're the exception and you don't like the way it is. And it's fucking ridiculous. Like, coming from where I'm at, looking back, the ego on some of these people is fucking insane, bro. And they're not even aware of it.
Yeah.
Like, how big is your ego to think that you get a special pass around the process?
Yeah. Yeah, that Kobe didn't get. Michael
Jordan
didn't
get it. Yeah. Nobody gets it.
Tom Brady didn't get it.
Nobody gets it.
Yeah.
No, nobody gets it.
For sure. Here you go, bro.
Yeah, right. Because you breathe air and you're born. Mm. Who the fuck are you? Mm.
I love it. I love it, man. Guys, Andy, our third and final question. Question number three. Hey, Andy, I have an employee who was with me in the beginning of my business when it wasn't making much. She used to complain I didn't charge enough and gave away too much free stuff. Now we have grown a ton. We are making more money and seeing more people than ever, and I still give away free stuff all the time. She seems to have a problem with financial goals of the office and seems disgruntled anytime we are pushing to be better and make more. We highlighted patient care experience all the time, but we also have money goals we want to meet. My gut says to fire her, especially because I feel like I consistently have to protect the culture of the office from her negativity. Do you think that's the right move? Is that the right move?
Yeah. Fire her right now. Mm. Walk into her office right now and fire her. Mm. If you have to spend one fucking ounce of energy protecting the rest of your team from an individual, that person should be out of your ecosystem immediately. Immediately. And whatever backlash that's going to create in the short term is nothing compared to the damage that person's going to create in the long term. Mm. So, yes, the fact that you already are trying to protect your other people from this person, you already know what to do, bro. You're just asking me for confirmation.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I mean, I was reading this. I mean, if she's been, do you think there is some nuance here? Like, could it possibly be that she actually just gives a fuck, a lot of fucks about the company and doesn't want to see, you know, bad decisions that could, you know, maybe is she seeing something he's not seeing?
Could be possible. But what it sounds like is happening is that she's upset that he's doing it his way and it's succeeding.
Mm.
That's what it sounds
okay.
like.
Okay. More ego. You just that's didn't
That's what
shoot.
It sounds
gotcha.
Like.
Gotcha.
Because like a lot of people
yeah.
get really upset about that, right? Like, and that's a very weak skill or a very weak trait when it comes to being a team player.
Mm.
It doesn't matter whose idea it is. It matters that it works. All right. Like, if you're a leader of a team and you're one of these guys that has to have your idea be the idea every single time, bro, you're only going to get so far because you don't have the brain capacity to know what to do every single time. A great leader surrounds themselves with very intelligent people that are actually, hopefully, more intelligent than them. And then they say, what do you think we should do? And then they go to the next person and they say, what do you think we should do? And they go around the table and they ask, you know, however many people are there, 5, 6 people. They say, what do you think? What do you think? And you take all the data and then you make a decision that is best for the team about which parts of each solution that you're going to put together to form the solution. And that is the role of a leader. The role of a leader is not to know the best thing to do. It's to listen and choose the best thing to do. And sometimes that will be your idea. Sometimes you'll listen to all the ideas and you're going to say, well, I think I got a better idea than that. I'm going to do this. But, you know, that's the role of a leader. And if that woman is in your office and, you know, she's a key employee that's been with you for a long time, I'm assuming that she's a leader. And it sounds like she has a trait that is unfavorable to team atmosphere, which is her idea has to be right. And if it's not right, she's upset about
it. It's a problem.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people like that, dude.
Yeah. Is there some caution that he should take about, you know, giving away a shit ton of free stuff? Is that something, I mean, did you have that issue, I guess, early on in business that you had to
it depends. Back a little bit? It depends. Yeah. It depends. You know, are you getting some sort of return? Is it creating goodwill? Are you getting word of mouth? Are you creating good relationships? It just depends. I mean, yeah. If you're just standing in the front of your place and giving away free shit to whoever.
See you later.
Yeah, that's probably not a good thing.
Yeah.
But if you're being intelligent and you're choosing situations where it would be a good idea to contribute to things like a community golf tournament or maybe an influencer that you're trading free product for views and likes and attention. Those are situations where that makes sense. If you're overdoing it, of course that's a terrible idea. Yeah. Like you can't do that.
Yeah. But if they're growing, it seems like they're probably not overdoing it.
No, I think sampling free product is one of the best ways to get new customers in your fucking funnel. Mm. Okay. And every big brand in the world does this. Nike gives away free shit. Red Bull gives away free shit. Monster gives away free shit. You know what I'm saying? No. Tell me one company that doesn't give away free shit that's a fucking iconic big company. They do it. And you can do it as a small company to bring people into your ecosystem. No different than the sample carts at Costco. Mm. How many times have you walked down to Costco and you saw them cooking and you get to the aisle and there's this little old lady with some really good smelling treats and you pick a couple treats and then you're like, fuck it, I'm getting this. And you go to the freezer and you get the shit.
Yep.
How many times does that happen?
I love those okay. carts.
Yeah, I know you do, bro. I do too. The shit smells so good.
I go
good.
Back with different disguises, bro.
You're making laps. You're doing laps. That's the fat guy laps.
I've never tried these. Yeah. I'll have one.
Yeah. You hope that she doesn't see you the second time, but you know that she's going to see you the third time, so you go to a different aisle.
Alex, go give me two of those.
That's right. That's right, bro. I know the game. Listen, hey,
it is what it is.
It is. It's a fucking fact.
Costco has some good shit, man.
Hey, man.
I like Costco.
Yeah, Costco's good. but that's the game, bro.
There is an incentive there.
Yes, there's three ways to get people into your funnel, bro. Like, real talk, there's really only three ways. One is word of mouth, two is advertising, and three is sampling. All right? Those three ways are the three main basic channels to pull people in your funnel, and it's a necessity to figure out how to sample your product. And if you do so strategically, where you're building relationships with people who have influence, that makes a lot of sense. Yep. That's how you'll grow your business. So, yeah, of course you can do that.
All right, sweet. Well, tell her fuck off.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It could be all those things. Mm-hmm. It could be she cares. It could be she's being cautious. It could be. But the problem is that if you feel like you have to protect the rest of the people from her, that's a massive problem that will only metastasize into a full-blown cancerous culture if you don't cut it the fuck out. So that's why I said what I said, and I think you should.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. Well, guys, Andy, that was three.
Yeah. Don't be a hoe.
Share the show.
Sleeping on the floor, now my jewelry box froze. Fuck a bowl, fuck a stove, counted millions in a car.